from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
10:30. Rick Riz is coming on. Somebody hit me up yesterday and they said, hey, you're going to have Rick Riz on the show because I want to see how he's going to talk about this. It's to the point now where people are looking forward to Rick Riz because they need to feel better, too.
They do. We do. You know I'm going to go do a game on Tuesday?
Oh, you are?
Like, are they still going to even be in playoff contention by then? That's what I want to know.
Well, today they play against the Houston Astros. They got to get busy today. They also need some other things to happen, but they got to first, before they worry about anybody else, take care of the Houston Astros. They got three games getting ready to come up against them. One, two, three. Three games, and then you got four games against the Rangers, and that's it. Three and four. You got seven games left.
And didn't Mike Salk, so on Friday we had Mike Salk on, and he said they had to win at least five of the next 10 games, right?
Yeah.
And then, other things need to happen, but I think it was five. Seven would be great.
And if you guys, you guys remember, I said the magic number around 91, 92. Right now, they're at 84 still.
Okay. So we're going to turn the luck around.
Yep. All right. Ursula, what is new at 10? What you got?
What's new at 10?
Well, if you look outside, it's kind of rainy. And last Wednesday, we also got a taste of rain. And that led to a bunch of crashes on state highways all around King County. Just alone in that one day, we're talking about 28 different crashes. And with what used to be called the Pineapple Express, but now known as the Atmospheric River, pouring it on this week, state troopers are saying that the best thing you can do is what, G?
Slow down.
That's
right. Leave early.
Exactly. And increase your following distance behind the car in front of you.
Anytime there's an adverse weather pattern coming in, we kind of prep for it. We make sure that our cars are ready, make sure we've got our rain gear out. And then we just expect to be handling crashes for a lot of our shift.
That is State Trooper John DeTillo, who spoke with Cairo 7 TV.
Making sure your headlights and brake lights and taillights are all working properly. Making sure you have proper tread depth on your tires. Those tires are going to be absolutely critical when the rains come and when it starts snowing again.
And most importantly, the trooper says, basically, you know that advice that you always give to avoid traffic headaches? Well, he says that is true.
If you're not in a hurry, you are much less likely to drive aggressively. And that way, if there are crashes, which I would expect crashes if it's been raining, if there are crashes, you have that extra amount of time to get to work or get to where you need to go.
I'm surprised you're still in studio because usually by now you'd be walking out the door.
Nah, I'll tell you why I'm not in studio. The older I get, the more like my dad I get. There's just things.
Wisdom.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like last Wednesday, we talked about it. Right. And I was saying that I was proud of the folks that I was around going I-5 north at that time around 6 o'clock, 6 in the morning. They were driving slower. There was more traffic. Yes. But the people were like, hey, I'd rather take longer than be in an accident. Because if you get in an accident, you know how much longer it's going to take. Slow down or leave early.
What always amazes me is that it seems like people forget how to drive in the rain. We know when the weather changes, we're going to get rain. And it's just inevitable that suddenly we have so many more crashes. People forget what to do. People forget to leave the distance. And most importantly, to leave with enough time to get to where you need to go.
Let's go back in all of our discussions, guys, about driving. Let's not even talk about rain. Let's just talk about speeding. And I tell you, we talked about it.
Yep.
Like, I don't speed. And the reason why I don't speed is not that I don't want to get there any faster than you, Ursula, yeah, because I do. But if I leave earlier than you, and let's say I leave 15 minutes earlier than you, I'm not the best at math. But if you leave, you got to speed X amount of time,
yes,
before you can meet me at the spot.
Yes.
And I just don't understand why people just speed. So if you speed when it's not raining, do you speed When it is raining?
Well, I need to ask the people who do speed, because I'm not someone who speeds either. So we're going to divert our attention to Chef. But before
speed.
I really don't.
Never. Okay. All right. Do you drive about 20 miles an hour in Seattle?
She doesn't know people just be honking at her.
Exactly.
She's not speeding.
Yeah. And if anything, I was thinking about this the other day as I am driving the speed limit, even slightly above the speed limit, and yet I'm still driving slow.
Yeah.
For traffic. So it's like everyone else is speeding. Does that mean now I have to speed? I know people are going to text in, yes, you need to go
talk
with the flow
to Chris
of traffic.
Sullivan. Yeah, that's what he would say. But honestly, I feel like I need kind of a self-intervention. And I have a question for dash cam drivers out there. Because anyone who has a dash cam in their car, because we have so many of these stories about the carjackings, the stolen cars, the accidents, the attempted carjackings, when someone hits you. And so I'm thinking about getting a dash cam. Not to protect myself from other drivers, but potentially to protect myself from myself. Do you have a dash cam in your car, correct?
I mean, because of the
vehicle model.
Does it actually make you a more accountable driver for yourself because you know you are recording evidence of yourself along with other people who are on the roads?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I might need to do this.
Because
I have no chill recently.
But I want to know, like, what is it you feel like just everyone should have no one hindering your progress on the freeway? Or is it an ego thing? That's the other part.
No, it's not an ego thing.
Is it just you just don't like to have anyone in front of you?
No, I mean, if I'm in the left lane on the freeway and there's someone driving 60 miles an hour and there is a completely open road in front of them. Yes, that's infuriating. That is absolutely infuriating because you are not a left lane driver. Get in the right lane. That is expressly what that lane is for. And the only reason you're in that lane driving 60 miles an hour is A, because you're oblivious, or B, because you're one of these people who's like, what, a speed vigilante on the roads, thinking to themselves, you know what, I am going to hold up the flow of traffic for everyone to make sure that nobody can go over the speed limit. There's really no reason to be in the left lane doing 60 with open roads.
Okay, and I get the whole left lane camping, and I guess that gets people outraged, whatever. Right? Again, I find myself rarely ever getting outraged on the road, just because I'm like, I know what can happen. What's the point? The only one I get mad at is myself if I don't leave in time.
Yeah.
Like because I'm always optimistic and I think I'm going to get to some place without encountering any traffic. I'm only giving myself exactly the amount of time that it says that it would take me, not considering that you might run into an accident or whatever it is. Give yourself extra time. And that's what I tell myself. That's the only person I get mad at.
Here is a PSA. Here's a PSA for everyone. This is coming from fake state trooper G. Scott. Just want to let you know, I know it's been said that some people forget how to drive in the rain and some people don't know how to drive in the rain. And I'm going to fix that for you. The easiest, best thing you can do to drive right in the rain is slow down. That's it. That's how you drive in the rain. Slow down.
Yes. And make sure that there's enough room between you and the person ahead of you.
If you keep that in your mind, you can officially graduated fake state trooper G. Scott's driving course.
Well, you need to make t-shirts, buddy. We can pass those out.
Doug in Mount Vernon wants to know if it was my intention to throw Andrew under that speeding bus. Kind of.
Yes. That's what I'm here for. Just back it on up.
Because you're someone who has talked about it before.
And so I understand it's something I need to deal with and manage.
I know, but
you're not the only one. I have someone in my family who I won't throw under the bus because he doesn't agree to be on the show. But someone who is normally so mild-mannered that I don't get where the rage comes from.
LLM?
I'm not saying, but sometimes I think this person is like so calm in every other situation other than on occasion behind the wheel.
I cannot fathom getting in my car and being in it for more than half an hour without getting angry once.
Are you serious?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Why are you angry, bro?
Because people do boneheaded things all of the time, and boneheaded things put your life at risk. They're not just annoying. Driving slow is annoying, but there are a lot of boneheaded things people do, whether it's cutting you off or doing something illegal, that legit puts lives at risk. Yeah. And so you get into an escalated emotional state. And the fact that never happens to you is mind-boggling to me.
Nick, bruh, you get road rage?
Mm-mm. I'm like, In the rain, I tame it down a bit. I feel like in the summertime, there's more, a lot more people going with the flow of traffic over 60. But in the rain, you got to take it easy.
Who y'all mad at? Who are you mad at?
Like, I think it's been when you're in a hurry or you've got some, you're in a hurry or you maybe are mad at the world.
Yes, because you're in a hurry.
And sometimes it comes out when, you know, you see people either doing stupid things or, you know, maybe someone like myself who's driving the speed limit or just above. And you're like, this person is too slow. Get off the road.
Question for all of you listening. When is the last time you, other than preventing an accident, when is the last time that you honked your horn?
How often do you honk? I rarely honk. I mean, unless it's like I'm almost going to hit somebody.
I never honk. And I don't want to see none of y'all honk and honk jokes for G. Scott in getting married. None of that. But I never honk my horn.
Chef. Okay, well, come on. This morning? Yesterday?
Why?
Okay, legit question, though. If there's a cyclist on the road in front of you who refuses to get out of the way and they're doing 20 miles an hour, like, aren't you annoyed by that?
No, I mean, kind of, but I'm not in a hurry, bro.
Just let it go.
Let it go. So you honk at the biker?
What? No, I'm not saying I was honking at the biker. But I'm just giving you a hypothetical example of maybe a situation in which you might also
get frustrated. But would you honk at the person on a bike?
Would I honk at someone on a bike? Depends on how long they're doing it in front of me. Staying in the middle of the road. Yeah, probably. Of course.
Yeah, he already said.
Wouldn't most people
how
do
many
that?
Times have I honked this morning? I mean, okay. Anyway, okay, so we're talking about rage. What about
envy? We
need
envy? To move on.
We're moving on. What about envy? Is that something that you should aspire to? And the reason I'm asking is because there are two cities in Western Washington that have just been named among the most envied in the entire country for their luxurious suburban lifestyles. And according to this list, those cities are Mercer Island and Medina. Shock. Probably for nobody. But Mercer Island came in at number 9 on this list. And so the question is, well, what makes it so enviable? This list includes the fact that the median income in 2020, at least, was double the national average at over $150,000. The median price for a home was about $1.4 million. And the write-up says, along with its great water views, Mercer Island is also known for having a fantastic school district. That's true. And it's also close to downtown Seattle. So that makes it an attractive option for people who are seeking a luxurious and convenient lifestyle. And then regarding Medina, it says it's at number 11. With a population of only 3,000, it is home to many of the world's high-profile tech billionaires, including Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. Median property value is over $2 million. The median income is more than $200,000. Mm-hmm. Is it something positive to be envied?
Yes, for sure. Right. Like, I think so. And I think that I don't know about you guys, but in my lifetime, I have always been some like looking at neighborhoods like, ooh, I wish I could live there. And ooh, in Chicago, there was this place called it's a rich neighborhood. A lot of black folks lived there that were really well to do, doctors, lawyers, all that. And it was called Pill Hill. Right. And this neighborhood was not far from my house. But every time when I would ride my bike, I would always ride my bike through this neighborhood. And I'd always say things like, ooh, that's my house. Or
yes.
I changed it. That's my house right there. That's my house. And so that's what I would do. And then you get older and maybe you have lived in a nice neighborhood. And then you find out right away. And here's what you find out. A lot of times the people in these really, really nice neighborhoods, y'all don't talk to nobody. Mm. The conversations suck because everybody is just so stuck up. No, let me change that. Let me do that again. I apologize.
Retake.
I don't want to say stuck up, but there is a sense of entitlement. Like you walk, if you are walking down the street and someone passes you walking by, Ursula, do you speak to them?
A lot of times.
Like, I speak to them every time.
Yeah.
I have no understanding how people walk past each other and don't say hi. Now, I got people that I don't like, that I don't talk to when I walk by you.
I was going to say.
Yeah, you got that.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about the complete stranger. And what I'm saying is in rich neighborhoods, you get a lot of walk-bys. as opposed to, this is why I love Tacoma so much. I love Tacoma because people are real. They solid. You know what I mean? You get real conversations. Yeah. So I'm into that.
I mean, I'm also envy. I love this quote about envy. Envy is the art of counting another's blessings instead of your own. So I was reading through this list and it had Calabasas, California, which I've been there, and it's of the Kardashian fame, driven through. And I do drive through. When my son went to UCLA, I would drive around Brentwood. I would drive around. You know what I'm talking about.
Me too.
And all the homes right by the UCLA campus. I was like, oh my gosh, one day. You know what though? I was looking at one day when I'm not really focusing on the fact that, wait a minute, what I have is great.
Yes.
I may never get into a house like that, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to just focus on my own blessings.
Some of these folks, you be living in a nice neighborhood. You've been living next to that neighbor for 25, 30 years.
And
you've never been inside of their house. You know what I'm saying? They don't go down in regular neighborhoods. You come and sit on the porch, or you come in the garage. You know what I mean? You come hang out. Hey, you want to come grab a beer? You want a hot link? You know, those kind of exchanges. Those are real exchanges. Nobody's offering you a hot link in a rich neighborhood.
You know what? That might be too much of a sweeping statement.
I made a lot of them that last segment. I apologize. Rick Riz, go just... You guys sit in. Sit in the questions right now. 888-973-5476. What questions do you have for Rick Riz? My question is this. Are these Mariners going to make the playoffs? We do that next. She and Ursula.
Rick Riz Show.
Goodbye, baseball!
With G and Ursula.
Holy smokes!
Okay, it is Monday, September 25th, and it is do or die time for the Seattle Mariners. They only have 7 games left, but if there is a silver lining, it's that all those games are at home. Rick Riz... We were really optimistic last week. Things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. How do you keep that optimism? What are we looking at now?
Well, Ursula and G, the sun came out this morning. Oh, wait, no, it didn't.
Oh, it didn't.
It's going to come out. I believe we're going to see the sun again. I guarantee that. But it's great to be back home. Yeah, we got off to a great start in Oakland, sweeping the A's, and everything looked great. And then they had a rough time in Texas and, got swept by the Rangers. But right now, the Mariners still have a chance because the Rangers are coming back, and Texas Rangers are on top of the American League West. The Mariners are 3 out there. But they're still just a half game back of the Houston Astros, who have the third wild card spot. And they've got to beat Houston tonight. And the Mariners have played very well against the Astros this year. They're 8-2 against Houston. Great pitching matchup tonight. Should be a packed house at T-Mobile Park. Luis Castillo is going for the Mariners. He's going to get votes for the Cy Young Award because he deserves it. Last 3 starts, a 1.42 ERA, won 7 innings last outing against the A's. So, you know, it's right there for the Mariners. They just have to win and move on by the Astros and grab that third spot. And with the Texas Rangers bullpen as bad as it is, you know, you still have an outside chance of still winning the division if they get help. And they've been getting help. That's the rough part of what we've seen the last 3 days. The Kansas City Royals went into Houston and swept the Astros in a 3-game series. So we didn't lose any ground, and the Astros just a half game back. So it's going to be fun. Fasten your seatbelts. But I believe in this club. They always find a way to come back. And they did it last year, and they've done it about 50 times this year. They always find a way. So I look forward to the Mariners and the Astros tonight.
Hey, Rick, do you like fastening your seatbelt? And what I mean by that is, do you like it this close? What would you rather have? Would you rather it be just a blowout, like, oh, everybody knew, everybody and mama knew the Mariners are going to make the playoffs? Or would you rather have this right here? Because, you know, gee, it's just baseball. You have to be in it, you know, for the entire time. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, number one, I wish I had my seatbelt on after I blew it past 2.5 months ago.
Oh, Rick.
Rick.
I really do. But, you know, I love, thank God I'm here and
you
everything.
Are.
So
yes.
That's good. So, but, you know, I love exciting baseball. You know, it's nice, though, once in a while to have a blowout, just, you know, go out there and score runs and add on and take the pressure off that bullpen. You need games like that during the course of the year, but I don't think it'd be fun if you blew everybody away for 162 games. I mean, baseball is exciting. I love edge of your seat baseball. I mean, look what we did in 1975. And I always tell people that in 1995, that it was not only, you know, the way they came back, it was how they did it. You know, all the exciting games down the stretch, down by 13 games with 2 months left to play. And it was how they did it, when they did it, and everybody was a different star each and every night. So it really turned on the city, and it proved to Major League Baseball that we deserve to stay up here in the Northwest. That's why we have T-Mobile Park right now, great ownership, the best fans in baseball. I mean, we're going to be packed all week long. But I love the excitement. Absolutely. I love edge-of-your-seat baseball.
See, I love the excitement. But I wish that we could do it without having to do all of this mental gymnastic time at the end, right? Like, okay, how many games do they have to win? We've got seven games left. How many do they have to win?
Ursula, you know, I've told many people this, they have to win one game.
Oh,
and that's tonight.
That's a great. And they have to win tomorrow night too, because I'm going to be there.
Then you got to win one game tomorrow night. Then they have to win one game following night. You know, that you can't look too far ahead. You know, in order to win this thing, they need to win seven in a row. You know, that's pretty obvious. But I tell people, just win tonight. Don't worry about tomorrow. Put your faith in the Rock, Luis Castillo, to do what he does. And that's, you know, give you a chance to win every 5 days. And score runs for him early. But you brought up a great point. It seems like in that Texas series, the Mariners dug themselves a deep hole early in the game, down 6-0 in game one. And almost came back and won 8-5. We had the go-ahead run at home plate. And then yesterday, they were down 7-2, but they battled back. They're amazing. And, you know, they had the tying run up to home plate late in the ballgame. I want the other teams, you know, to try to get that tying run up to home plate. So you got to score early, especially with a guy like Justin Verlander. If you got to get him early. If you don't, then he settles in. And then add on. That takes the pressure off of your bullpen. You get to save your high leverage guys, you know, Matt Brash and Munoz. Justin Topa has been outstanding. The other guys have been great as well. You get a chance to save that bullpen and get ready for the playoffs. So, you know, score early, add on, play good defense, play good baseball, and then win one game tonight. That's the best way I could put it.
Chef, what is it, pentothal? What is the truth serum stuff?
Sodium pentothal, yeah.
Hey, just pretend like, hey, Rick, pretend like I just gave you some truth serum right now. So anything that I ask you right now, you have to tell the truth. You ready?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
There's 7 games left. I need you to tell all of us, is there something you do that might be considered superstitious? Do you have some type of good luck charm? Is there anything you do?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I put my left leg and my pant leg first, and then my right leg, you know, the when I get dressed, and the left sock on first and the right sock after that, when I get up in the morning. No, not really. Do you?
Absolutely.
Okay, what's yours? Yeah, truth serum time.
I got about...
For baby G's games?
I have about 6 new Ohio State hats. And I haven't broke. I haven't brought out any of them because there's one hat that they keep winning in, so I keep wearing the same hat.
Yes, that's it. I did Ohio State football for 2 years when I was in the minor leagues.
Didn't know that.
Yes, 1981-82. Earl Bruce was the head coach. He took over from Woody, who clocked Charlie Bauman in the Gator Bowl in 1978.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, especially when we played Michigan. But
you're not even allowed to say that word. The team up north. Hey, did you see the Ohio State? They beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, it's a great
how
one.
About that?
Great one.
No. Yeah, I still enjoy, you know, every time I see Ohio State.
Yeah.
But I'm a Cougar fan. I'm a Husky fan. I'm a Seahawk fan. But, man, I'm
I'm a Mariner fan, and I'm looking forward to a big win tonight and a win in the series. And,
okay.
And get everybody to the playoffs again for back-to-back years. That'd be fun.
Well, tonight, they got to win one, and that's the goal. Thanks for coming on with us, Rick. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, Ursula G. All right.
See you guys.
See you next week.
See ya. Hey, coming up next in scenarios, oh boy, Ursula's going to really like this topic. Find out what happens. This person is going to propose, but it's a cheap ring, and they think that they are worth more. G and Ursula. All right, scenarios right now. Let me tell you, my man wants to propose to me, and I'm over the moon. He hasn't told me yet, but I know he's about to because he told my best friend, and she told me. Wow. Can I stop right there?
Yeah.
Why would you
ruin someone's surprise? Seriously.
That's awful.
I mean,
this is the first time we've ever stopped midway through to talk about this, but man.
I know. What's the point? Okay.
All right, let me get through this. He is doing everything right so far, but there's a problem. He asked my friend to help him shop for a ring, and she showed me pictures of the ring that he was looking at. And I'm like, what in the world? The ring he wants to get me are smaller than my baby niece's earrings. And I'm like, hold up. What's going on here? She said he told her these rings were on his budget and were all he could afford. He's never had financial issues before, so I think he's just trying to be cheap. He's planning to propose soon, probably in front of my family, and post it on social media since he thinks of himself as an influencer. But I cannot let him embarrass me and himself with that little ring. I don't know what to do. I'm not supposed to know about all this, but I do. I want to say yes when you ask, but why would I accept a ring that undervalues me? Wow. I want him to understand that I deserve something special that I would proudly wear. This is his one chance to step up and truly sweep me off my feet. Part of me thinks I need to talk with him and let him know that I know what he's planning, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. Help. 888-973-5476 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you up the bat first. So much to this.
Oh, there is. So first of all, you and I agree that I wouldn't have led on if someone says, I'm doing this and I want you, you know, not to say anything, but this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking. Can you help?
Yeah.
But now that the cat's out of the bag, so to speak.
Meow.
And and now she's already disappointed in the size of the diamond. Okay, I'm just going to say this. Why are you equating how much you are valued with the size of the diamond, first of all? I think you can end up ruining, you know, the first thing is he's saying, I want to be committed to you. I want to do this. And that's great. Worry about the size of the diamond at some future date. But the idea that she said also, I think he's just being cheap. He's never had financial problems. Perhaps the reason he hasn't had financial problems is because he doesn't go into debt.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I would wait for it to happen first. Don't get all worked up about it beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Chef?
I think she's getting a rope-a-dope. I think there's something else going on here. This guy is an influencer. He does everything.
He says he's an influencer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believes he's an influencer. And nobody who has, I don't know, the lack of moral character to become an influencer does things in a small way. It's always about the big reveal, the big surprise. So I think the friend had permission to tell you that he was going to propose and show you these pictures of these piddly little rings. And then he's going to do the big reveal and it's going to be some giant rock that's probably fake anyways because people won't be able to tell from the Instagram photos. Here's the deal. It is an engagement ring. An engagement ring. Who cares how big the rock is unless you just want to show off?
Okay. Ursula, I want you to help. You're the lady in the room. I want to ask you, in your opinion, on a scale of 1 to 10, How important is the ring for women? Size, clarity, whatever it is.
For some women, it's this sentimentality. Mm-hmm. I mean, some women would be happy with grandma's ring that's passed down, and because it means so much.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter. The right answer is to say it shouldn't matter at all. It's the love. It's, you know, it's other things. But the reality is, for some people, jewelry is everything.
Do you think this will always be a thing, Ursula? Like, you think in 50, 100 years, do you think, like, going out and getting an expensive engagement ring or an engagement ring to the woman is going to be a silly thing?
As long as we believe the marketing, that whole idea of how many paychecks are you supposed to go in? I mean, please. Wasn't that Zales or one of those jewelry companies that came up with that?
Yeah.
I don't believe that people should be going into hawk and going into heavy debt to get something that... What does it say when you have a big, fat, fancy ring? That you're rich when you're not? I mean...
That's a good point. What does it say?
Who are you trying to impress?
I
say that.
That's
okay,
a good point.
And I want listen, Josiah. I'm not repeating. I say that as someone who, after 30 something, 27 years, I did get a ring upgrade. Okay, I mean, and so some people may say, "Well, you're being hypocritical."
Yeah,
I didn't. It wasn't important to me until. You know, my husband was looking, it was in a better position, and it was like, hey, this would be really nice if we upgrade. I actually had to cut off my ring, too, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I needed a new ring anyway, so why not do the upgrade at that point? Again.
Jeez, harsh.
Nick, what do you got?
Well, if she's so certain about what kind of specific ring she wants, maybe there's some foretelling to what this relationship's foundation is. Is it more about the materialism and title of the two being together, or is it a genuine connection? But I don't think that's the real issue at this point. Why would you ruin the surprise?
Who would have thunk it? What a surprise!
I don't care if it's a 24-karat gold piece of jewelry or a ring pop. You have to keep the decency to keep the secret for your friends.
Good stuff. Ursula.
206 said select your own ring. I know that you're holding back on some stuff too.
No,
I mean,
no,
your partner, your wife, is it important to have a decent sized ring?
Yeah, I think
exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what I mean. So for everyone, it's different.
I think, especially America, you know, United States, our culture, we put such a premium on rings, and it matters. Like, how many times have you heard of someone laughing? Oh, girl, did you see so-and-so posted their ring on social media?
It's like a competition.
Yeah.
You know? It is. No, that's very much a thing, too, for sure.
It's a thing, you know? You show up, girls get together.
I mean, that goes with rings, that goes with cars, that goes with...
Yeah.
You know, I don't care about my car.
And it's all on credit.
Yep.
Exactly.
Josiah and Clea Ellen, we see you. Coming up next, we talk about our top story of the day. And also, we're going to get into Agree to Disagree. It's Gia and Ursula.
Something had to come back for a second help.